Now, will you listen to what God has to say to them? He says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. And the word is hush. Hush. Don't talk out. Don't speak out. No protesting. You're in the presence of the living God. Again, may I say that there is a lack of reverence for God. This notion that Jesus is sort of a buddy and that God is the man upstairs and that we can be very flippant as we speak of him today. May I say to you, our God is a holy God, a God that, my friend, if you and I came in a billion miles of him, we would fall down on our faces before him because of who he is. He is the great God, the creator of the universe, and we are merely a little creature. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. Why? For the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, this is the first mention of the day of the Lord in this book. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bidden his guests. Now, the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, again, the day of the Lord is presented here primarily as the time of judgment. And if you want to fit it into God's program, it's the great tribulation period. This is the time that it begins. You and I are living in the day of Christ, the day of grace. Now, the day of the Lord will begin when the church leaves this earth. Then God begins to move and begins to move in judgment. Now, ahead of that day, which is still in the future, there have been times when it's been likened unto the day of the Lord. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar finally came and destroyed Jerusalem, burned it to the ground, and plowed it under, if you please, and also that land, he left it denuded. You go to that land today, there are no trees. Oh, I know Israel's planted out millions of trees, but they just haven't made even a dent in that land, those barren hills that you see everywhere. Well, at one time, they were all covered with trees and with vineyards. It was a land of milk and honey, but it's not that today, friends, because you have left over that which the enemy did. The Babylonians came, and then later on, Alexander the Great, as well as the Medo-Persians ahead of him. And then after them, the Romans came. And enemy after enemy have come into that land. And as a result, there's been very few trees that have been left there. And the land is almost completely denuded today. A friend and I were riding across the Negev several years ago, down by the Dead Sea, and we came by Beersheba and on up to Ashdod, and he said, I don't see how in the world that this land could ever have been called a land of milk and honey. Well, I said, it sure is hard to understand, isn't it? It's just barren as it can be. It's like a bald-headed man. Why? God makes it very clear that that's what he's going to do back here. And he did it, friends. And the evidence is there today. And that was, for those people, the day of the Lord. But that does not satisfy the prophecies, as this man makes it very clear, that the day of the Lord is that day that's yet in the future. And it will be consummated when Christ comes and establishes his kingdom here upon this earth. Now, with almost biting sarcasm here, he says, the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He's bidden his guests. And the guests are going to be the sacrifice, by the way. And the sacrifice is the judgment upon this nation.